In our Shir Psicha, we had the chance to lay out some of the underlying concepts that all of Hilcha Psicha will be built on. The concept of Kedusha, as well as two technical halachic concepts, the concept of Erva, the high level Isser Bia that carries with it Kares, and I had a chance to think about the notion of a Siyag, a Gezeirah, which is usually Drabbanan, but as we saw, there are examples of Siyagim Daraisa. And that at the intersection of all those, we come to the world of Yichud, which we're now ready to jump into in a Mirtashem, a methodical way. And I mentioned last time, my father-in-law, when he'll open a series of Shiur Menachos Yichud, will usually highlight the fact that Yichud is the study of Kulos. It will begin by defining the Yisr, but then much of the Limud, most of the Limud, is once I've defined the Yisr of Yichud, so what are the factors that can allow me to diffuse any given Yichud situation? And we'll be studying each of the Kulos by Lebi'ir, Pesach, Pasuach, and so on and so forth, and trying to get a handle on each of those. But we begin, with the Yisr of Yichud. The Yisr of Yichud, it's obviously a Seder Nashim topic. Specifically, it has a couple of addresses in Shas, but in particular in the Mishnayos and in the Gemara, at the very end of Kiddushin, beginning with one of the final Mishnayos, the Mishnah on Peyam Ebez Maseches Kiddushin. I think one way of thinking about this, just to put it into context, is I'm not sure it's necessarily a Kiddushin topic in particular. There is some overlap between marriage and Yichud. I think in a certain sense, Yichud is really a Seder Nashim topic, and it didn't really have a natural home. It comes up a little in Sota, but Tanam were looking for a place to put it, so it put at the end of Seder Nashim, one of the miscellaneous, important miscellaneous topics, much as the Rambam has it at the end of Hilchas Yisur B'Yom. So let's take a look at the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah tell us? This Mishnah on Pei Amud Beis, a very, very dense Mishnah. Over the course of a couple of lines, we're going to see five major topics in Hilchas Yichud that we're going to be unpacking for a couple of weeks. Take a look here, Peyam and Beis. Lo Yisyached, if you need. I actually brought along some extra copies of things.
We had last week.
No problem. Help yourself. I think it's a page or two into that packet. Lo Yisyached Adam in Shtei Nashim. Mishnah says that a man may not be alone with two women. Aval Isha Achas Misyachedes Im Shnei Anashim. But two men and a woman is mutter, one man and two women is aser. Rabbi Shimon goes on to say that af isha echad misyachedim shnei anashim. We just said that one man and two women is prohibited, but it's mutter bezman she ishto imo. If his wife is with him, so then that diffuses the isra of yichud. Yashin iman bepundiki, they could even. This man with his wife, as well as some other woman, now there are no Isra Yichud during the day, there's even no Isra Yichud overnight. Because of the presence of his wife, gives a sense of shmira that diffuses the problem of Yichud. And then finally, the last aspect of Yichud in this Mishnah is Misyached Adam im Imo v'im Bito. That a son and mother can have Yichud with one another, can be alone together, or a father and a daughter can be alone together. So in just those couple of lines of the Mishnah, I think we have five major concepts. Number one is that there is an Isra Yichud. That's number one. Number two, and number three, is how does it play out when there's more than two people? How does it play out when you have three people? So the Mishnah says, well, it depends. It depends what the breakdown of genders is. The Mishnah says that not only is Yichud Aser when a man and a woman are alone together, secluded together, even if a man is secluded with two women, that too, that, gotta be careful, that as well, that is also Aser, a man with two women. So that's the concept number two, is the Isra of Yichud with Shtei Nashim. Concept number three is, we said that the Hilchos Yichud will be primarily the study of Kulos. So concept number three in the Mishnah is our first Kulo, and that is two men and a woman, no Isra Yichud. Another way of thinking about that is while there's an Isra Yichud, Reuven and Aliza are alone, that's an Isra Yichud. But if you introduce another man into the situation, that diffuses the problem. Introducing our first Kula is bring a second man into the situation. Bring in Shimon, Shimon will be, to use the language that the Mishnah uses later on, he'll be the shomer. Right? And that brings us to concept number four in the Mishnah. Our second kula is, although we said generally adding a second woman to the situation does not eliminate the Isra Yichud, but if that woman is this man's wife, Ishto Imo, Ishto Mesharmata, one's wife serves as a valid shomer. So far we have, again, four concepts so far. There's Isra Yichud. The concept number two is the Isra Yichud not only applies to a man and woman who are secluded, but even if it's a man with two women. In other words, adding a second woman doesn't necessarily solve your problem. Adding a second woman will solve your problem if she is a particular type of woman. For instance, she's your wife. Okay. Adding a second man, that will solve your problem. And then finally, in addition to two types of shomrim, the first two kulos we had are both shomrim, introduce an added person, and that added person diffuses the situation. So concept number five in the Mishnah, our third kula, is even in a one-on-one situation. Even a one-on-one situation will be mutter if those two people, that man and woman, are related to each other, specifically a parent-child relationship. So those are, again, a very, very dense opening Mishnah. In Isra Yichud, three kulos, and a recognition that there are limitations. A kula of adding a second man, a kula of adding a second woman if she's his wife, a recognition that adding some other second woman would not solve the problem, and a kula, even without a shomer, a kula of there is no Isra Yichud between man and woman if they are parent and child. So it gives us a lot to think about. And it gives us a framework also where we begin to see categories, again, kulos and different types of kulos. The Gemara is going to develop some of these kulos more. Are there details about, what are the qualifications? Who's eligible to be that second man who serves as a shomer? The notion that a woman cannot serve as a shomeris, but if she's his wife, she can. Are there any other woman other than his wife who can serve as a shomeris? And we're also going to go on to expand this kula of krovaso, his mother and son, or father and daughter. Are there any other examples of that? How about other relatives? So again, the Mishnah is giving us a lot of kernels to think about. The Gemara is going to expand on them more. But we begin with the first two concepts, that there is an Isra Yichud, and that the Isra Yichud persists not only in a situation of just a one-on-one, but even if the three is a crowd, if it's a man and two women, that also typically is Asur Mishum Yichud. The Gemara starts there. Let's take a look. The Gemara asks a series of two questions.
Rabbi?
Sure.
Can you just define Yichud? I mean, I don't come from a background.
I'm sorry for jumping without...
I'm familiar with it, but just real... strict definition of what that word means.
Okay.
To be
Yichud does mean, that's a good way to put it. Yichud is being alone, being secluded. You're right that the Mishnah hasn't yet given a more specific, implementable definition. Like, how alone is alone?
Right.
How often might people be coming by? Are there windows? Is there visibility?
I mean, doctor, patient,
Right. So again, so we're sort of, as is the case in so many areas of halacha, as is the case whenever you learn Gemara, you start with a Mishnah, and the Mishnah, by design, gives you core concepts without a lot of unpacking. And the Gemara is going to, the Rishonim are going to etch more detail in. So as a matter of fact, when we get to one of the major areas that we're going to be exploring is, let's define exactly how secluded is secluded, how alone is alone. And that's going to be the focus, particularly in the middle of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara is going to tell what if there's an open door. We're showing to tell what if there's an open window. And how about people are coming by? So right, you are correct. You're absolutely correct, Barry, that the opening phrase of the Mishnah, Lo Yisyached, there's an Isra Yichud, well, that's something that's going to require a lot more definition. And one of the common attractions. But we begin with where this all come from. That's a very logical place to begin. It's interesting that the Gemara asks that question of source twice in quick succession. Let's just take a look at the Gemara. Let's read through the first few lines of Gemara, and then we'll go back and analyze. Gemara right away wants to know my taima. What's the reason for this? Tana de Eliyahu. So we have a brisa from a rare term, from Eliyahu's Beis Medrash. Ho'il v'nashim v'daitam kalas aleihem. Because women are more easily seduced. We'll plumb this in a moment, but let's just first read the Gemara. Then the Gemara asks, where does this din come from? What's the source in Psukim? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yochanan, the Amora quoted tradition, he had the name of Rabbi Yishmael. Mishum is usually used when the two people never saw each other. As Amr of Yehuda Amar Rav means Rabbi Yehuda told us what Rav told him. Rabbi Yehuda was a student of Rav. Rabbi Yochanan was an Amora. Rabbi Yishmael lived three generations before him. Rabbi Yochanan was a student of Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's Rabbeim were Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Yishmael is a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan never met Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yochanan is said in the Shir that he had a tradition, just like, you know, you go to a Shir nowadays and the Magid Shir quotes, if Magid Shir quotes Moshe Feinstein, so depending how old the Magid Shir is, maybe he heard it from Moshe Feinstein. The Magid Shir is quoting the Noda Behuda from the 1800s. Clearly, the Magid Shir didn't hear it from the Behuda. But he's saying, we know that the Behuda said this. That's what's going on here. Rabbi Yochanan is quoting a tradition in the name of Rabbi Yishmael. Remez l'yichud min ha-Torah minayin. Where is there a hint to Yichud in the Chumash? Shene'emar, a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. Re'eh is occupied largely with halachas of Avodah Zarah and Avodah Zarah related dinim. So this is one of the direct halachas of Avodah Zarah. The Torah speaks about a scenario where you have a Jewish missionary, where you have a Jew who is encouraging other Jews, to join him in a sin of Avodah Zarah. So the Torah says that's an unusually severe crime, an unusually severe Avodah. And the Torah says you're going to have to tell the Beis Din about this, even though the Chumash says, even though this was a private conversation, someone came over to me privately. He wasn't going to do this publicly. He was embarrassed to say it publicly. He catches me on the sly and says, "By the way, why don't you come join me? Come join me at church next week. Why don't you come join me in sticking some pins into voodoo dolls? Come join me. Let's worship Par or Baal or Asherah together." So the Torah says a Jew has to have the strength and be willing to go to Beis Din and say, you know, this fellow privately had a Mesis conversation, a Hasasa conversation with me. And the Torah describes that I'm going to need to do this even if it's someone who's very close to me. Ki yisischa achicha ben imecha. Torah says, if it's my own brother, the son of my mother comes over to me, or a child, or a parent, or a spouse, and comes and says, Neilcha v'navda, let's go try out some Avodah Zarah. That's the way that the Torah opens, introduces the parasha of Mesis. So Rabbi Yishmael said, before you get to all the details of the Avodah Zarah and the Mesis and so on and so forth, let's look at the way it's framed. The context, the setting, is Ki yisischa achicha ben imecha. So that's an interesting phrase. Why do you have to specify that brother is the son of your mother? Rabbi Shmuel said, what do you mean? V'chi ben ein meses, ben av ein meses? It's only going to happen with a brother who shares a mother with you, not with a brother who shares a father with you. What was it, man? Why did the Torah have to specify? Just say, ki yisischa achicha. Well, why do you have that extra phrase? Ben imecha. Ela lomer lecha. So Rabbi Shmuel said there's an added layer of meaning here. That phrase is superfluous, the ben imecha. The simple reading of the Gemara is as follows. That phrase is superfluous. You could have left out the Ben Imecha. So why did the Torah stick in that Ben Imecha? So the Torah chose to phrase this Pshul Shamikra, the simple meaning of the text, is that we're talking about an Avodah Zarah conversation. And that's the entire topic. But the fact that the Torah chose to phrase this, to formulate this in this awkward way, Achicha Ben Imecha, so there's obviously an additional layer of meaning. What's the additional nugget of meaning? We can focus also on that added phrase in the context, on its own, in the context of the pasuk. Ben imecha, the Torah says, ki yisischa, if one of these people who's close to you comes over to you biseser, alone, just him and you, and says, hey, let's go wish Avodah Zarah, you gotta take action. So the additional layer of meaning of derech drasha is you just look at the beni mecha in isolation. That phrase in isolation, beni mecha, the son of the mother, biseser, alone. And how do you interpret that? That ben, a son, could be alone with his mother. Beni mecha biseser. Lomar lecha, ben misyached imimo. That a son could be alone with his mother. So what's the significance of that? Obviously, the implication is son could be alone with a woman if she's his own mother. If she was someone else's mother, to be alone with some other woman who's not my mother, that's off limits. Lomar lecha, that phrase implies ben misachinim imo, son can be alone with mother, but also lehisachinim kol roish shebet Torah. But other than that, I cannot be alone with some other woman who's not my mother, who, like my mother, is an erva, but doesn't have a maternal relationship to me. So once again, so this is the Gemara had asked two questions and given two answers. The Gemara just asked, we were just focused on the second question, we know Hanimili, what's the source in Pesukim for Yichud? And we answered, you have this drasha from this added phrase that seems superfluous in the context, ostensibly an Avodah Zarah context, but Al Derech Drasha, it's also a Gilui Arayos context. That added phrase, Beni Mecha, we interpret it as alone. Beni Mecha Beseser. Beni Mecha, in a Beseser context, you can be alone with your mother, but you can't be Beseser with some other woman. So that's the source, that's the Gemara's answer to its second question. What's the source in Psukim for Yichud? How do we know that it is for Yichud? Where does this come from? The answer is a drasha from a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. What was the first question?
What's the reason?
Yeah, what's the reason? And the answer was a psychological explanation about the dynamics of relationships between men and women. So we need to figure out exactly what the Gemara was saying. What was that answer? Nashim Daitan Kal, something about them. Rashi begins to talk about something having to do with they're going to be more seducible. We need to dig into the details. But first, before you even get into the details, one of the things that strikes you right away is the Gemara asks two questions that really seem like the same question. Where does this come from? Where does this come from? He says, well, it's a pasuk, and they also have a rationale. Well, but what's driving Yichud? Is Yichud driven by his Xeris HaKasuv, or a pasuk, or is it just a practical consideration? Mm-hmm. And it's very strange that the Gemara seems to ask the same question twice, in very quick succession, and gives two different answers. Where does Yichud come from? A Svara. Where does Yichud come from? A pasuk.
Isn't the first question, why is one man with two women
Good. So Uri points out what Rashi says. Rashi takes pains to point out, my time, what's the reason? Lo yisyached im shtei nashim, ki isha shemisyached im shnei anashim. Right. What we said before, that there are five concepts in the Mishnah, and the second concept is that first line, lo yisyached adam shtei nashim. They can't have yichud even with two women together. Unlike isha, unlike two men and one woman, which is mutter. Right. So the my time, you're pointing out that Rashi takes pains to say, We're not asking the question of how do I know that Yichud is Asa? Saying how do I know that Yichud extends even to a case of three? If you think about it some more, you realize that the Gemara's answer to its second question was what sort of scenario? When we gave the pasuk, we were talking about the Seisa. Right, specifically, a mother and son is mutter, but if they a man and woman didn't have that parental relationship, it would be aser. So the answer to the second question was a one-on-one situation. The answer to the first question is asking about a situation of three, and that's why we appreciate the Gemara's answer was nashim daitan kalos alein. What does that mean? That phrase nashim daitan kalos is sometimes misrepresented as a statement about women's intelligence. It is not a statement about women's intelligence. It rarely comes up. It comes up, I think, exclusively in the context of Yichud. Take a look at Rashi. What does Rashi say? Daitan kala alehen ushtehen nochos lehispatos. There's a greater chance that this Reuven is alone, let's make up names, Reuven's alone with Aliza, that's in Yisrael Yichud. Even if Reuven's alone with Aliza and Yocheved, that's also in Yisrael Yichud. Why? Because, well, if Reuven's alone with Eliza, so there's a significant enough risk that that seclusion can lead to actual sin, to actual gila raya. So that's a situation of seclusion that's also, that's a yich which is also. Even if Reuven is alone with Eliza and Yocheved, obviously the risk of that leading to an act of gila raya is obviously less, much less, than Reuven just alone with Eliza. But at the same time, the Gemara says, we'll make up numbers, totally make up the numbers, they're not based on any stats. But imagine that Reuven alone with Eliza, there's a 5% chance that it leads to Gila Reis. I make our numbers. It might be more, it might be less, but for now, just by way of illustration. Ish Echad v'Isha Achad, just Reuven and Eliza, 5% chance that that type of seclusion leads to an act of Gila Reis, an act of Znus. Znus is a term we use for intimacy, which is forbidden. Forbidden intimacy is znus. Happy, healthy, holy intimacy between husband and wife is not referred to as znus. That is referred to as bia. That's just a Hebrew term for intimacy. But znus means specifically a forbidden act of intimacy. So the chance that a yichud between two people, beseser, to a man and woman alone leads to znus, let's imagine 5% chance. A chance that a man and two women, Reuven, Eliza, Yocheved, that's going to lead to znus, much lower. Let's imagine that that's 2%, 1%, 1%. It's certainly lower, but still high enough. 1% is still too much of a risk to bear. We're still going to say that that's still too risky. Yichud remains also. Whereas the chance of Reuven, Shimon, and Eliza being alone leading to znus, that's even lower than 1%. That's, let's imagine, 0.3%. So that's already, again, it's not, hasn't disappeared, but the risk at that point is so low that it's below our threshold. Again, make up numbers, imagine, you know, 0.5% risk, that's our threshold. If you're above 0.5% risk, yichud is aser. Below that red line is mutter. So what the Gemara, the way Rashi is explaining the Gemara, we're saying, look, anytime you introduce a third person, obviously you immediately reduce the risk of znus. But whom you introduce is going to matter. Introducing a second man will diffuse the situation even more than introducing a second woman. And why? Because as Rashi begins to say, some of the other Rishonim expand further, that just given the dynamics of how such a situation will tend to play itself out, every situation is different, but this is all this question, risk management is always a question of probabilities. It's more likely, the Gemara is the way that we shall explain Rashi, it's more likely that the male is driving the situation than the female is driving the situation. So it's somewhat more likely that the second woman, he may convince both of them, to join him in an act of znus, in which case, now there's a bond of silence. No one's going to, if everyone participate, no one's going to, is going to inform it, and no one's going to share it about anyone else. Whereas the chance of one woman convincing both men to sin with her, that's possible, but even less likely. So that's what the Gemara says. So again, the first question the Gemara wants to know is, you tell me three is a crowd, but sometimes it's an issue, and sometimes not. What's that all about? And the answer is, well, you need to think about the probabilities. You need to think about the risks. Adding a second woman diffuses the risk somewhat, but not sufficiently. Adding a second man diffuses the risk even more, so much so that now we're below the threshold, and now we have no issue yichud whatsoever. That was the Gemara's first question and first answer. Why is the Mishnah forbidding yichud even in a case of a second woman present? The answer is, Nashim daitan kalos, shein ochus lehiz patos, as Rashi says, you haven't sufficiently mitigated the risk. Then the Gemara says, well, where did yichud come from? In the Pesuk, where did the chorus of yichud come from? And the answer is, a pasuk in Re. Answer is, a pasuk in Re. Question?
I mean, obviously, the answer is that there are different questions that you can answer, but it doesn't explain the order. It's still strange that you would think
you'd start with the question. Yeah, that, it is interesting. That's a good point that Glenn is making. You would have thought that we'd start with a sort of the core question first, and then my comment. Yes. That's a good point.
Doesn't answer the question.
Right, because the mission is
a weird order. So one second. Well, what is the order of the Mishnah? So I would argue, I thought you were giving an answer, which is how did the Mishnah? I said before there are five concepts in the Mishnah. It's not really true, because the Mishnah starts with concept two, and then three, and four, and five. Right. The Mishnah implies concept number one, which is there is an Isser Yichud. But the Mishnah jumps right into, well, there is an Isser Yichud even with two women, but there's no Isser Yichud with two men. And there's no Isser Yichud with Ishto Imo, and there's no Isser Yichud with mother and, you know, parents and child. The implication is that there is an Isser Yichud, right? But it could be that the first movement of the Gemara is addressed what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah started overtly with the distinction between Shnei Nashim, Shnei Anashim, and Shnei Nashim. What's that all about? And then after that initial thrust, we then back off a little bit and say, one sec, let's zoom out. What's the basis for the whole Mishnah? I don't think, it's an interesting question to think about. How does the Gemara usually organize itself? I think this is a common Mishnah sequence. What?
Mishnayos jumping in is very common.
I'm sorry?
Mishnayos jumping in.
Yes, Mishnayos jumping in is definitely very common. And that's probably by design. The Ramchal, I think we spoke about this in a different context once. Ramchal in his essay on Agarata seems to imply, that's what I thought the Ramchal was driving at, that the fact that Mishnayos are often confusing and often, you know, the Mishnah said this, but really, if you look at that other Mishnah, you realize that you have to reinterpret what this Mishnah means is really X, Y, Z. What's it all about? Why didn't they write the Mishnayos clearly? So Ramchal implies it wasn't a flaw, it's a feature. By design, Mishnayos were written like a jigsaw puzzle. And he seems to say that you're only going to understand the Mishnah if you put together enough pieces. And why is that a feature? Because, really, Tarash Rapa is supposed to be Baal Peh, the Gemara and Temura. For the first 1,500 years, or 15, 16 centuries or so, of Jewish history, from Maimon Har Sinai until Yehuda HaNasi, Tarash Rav was conveyed, Tanakh was conveyed written, but the oral tradition was conveyed orally. At the time of Yehuda HaNasi, the Gemara says in Temura, he realized that we have a choice. We can either commit it to writing and can start conveying Torah in a suboptimal fashion, or we can insist on keeping it oral and we're going to begin to lose material. So Yehuda HaNasi made the call, better to transmit Torah in a suboptimal fashion than to actually lose chunks of content. But it's not ideal to have Mishnayos committed to writing, and a couple of centuries later, Gemara committed to writing, and so on and so forth. So Ramchal seems to imply that Yehuda HaNasi was trying to keep it as Baal Peh as possible. So the Mishnayos by design aren't clear. Mishnayos by design give you chunks of ideas and chunks of cases, and you typically need to, you know, reverse engineer the case law into figuring out what are the underlying concepts. So Mishnayos don't. It's not surprising at all. As a matter of fact, Mishnayos often start with details, often start with drabanans. You know, Maseches Gittin, Masech before Kiddushin, opens with a takana drabanan about maybe getting within a sayam. The last paragraph, you finally get to the question of what's the text of a get and what are grounds for divorce, which you would have thought would be, you would front load the Masech with that. Right, so that's not uncommon. And I believe also in terms of the way Gemara sequences itself, I think it's not uncommon that the Gemara will start by addressing specifics in the language of the Mishnah, and then afterwards zoom out and say, okay, now let's talk about the underlying concepts. I can't think of examples. There probably are a lot of them, I think. Yeah.
What Mida is this comparison to Mesis?
Oh, which of these Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah?
That's my fundamental question, but my other question is that the case in Dvarim by Mesis does not the privacy doesn't create the Isser. It's just illustrative of a situation where the Isser is still in effect. Whereas by Arias or Noshin, it's the intimacy, the privacy, I would call it, it's not intimacy at that point, creates the issue.
Yeah, so that's a good point. So Rabbi Aaron Kindler is making a good point. We might have to rename you temporarily the Yehoshua Kindler, I'll explain in a moment. So he said, number one, this drasha, the drasha is very odd. Number one, it's hard to know exactly what methodology. It's not called prat, it's not called v'chomer, it's not zera shava, what type of drasha is this? And right, the divide between the pshat context and the drasha analysis is striking, because in the pshat context, the beseser is a detail. It's just a setting to enable the avera of this idolatrous conversation, this idolatrous pitch. And in the drasha, it's all about the beseser. So the fact that pshat and drasha are at odds with each other, or sort of perpendicular, orthogonal, that's not uncommon. But the Pnei Yehoshua raises your point, and I think he says he was bothered by this for decades. So this is drasha, so odd. This is kamozar. So he actually says, on this Gemara, he says, it's not just about the Ben Imecha. It's really that we go on to say, or your daughter, if you have a chumash, we're going to say, or your daughter, you're sitting alone with your... this Gemara, thank you, this Gemara has a psukim. Ki yisischa achicha Ben Imecha. If it's your brother, the son of your mother... seeks to missionize you, proselytize you, O bincho, your son, O bitcho, your daughter, O eshes chachacha, or your wife, or recha ekshek nafshecha, or a very close friend, any one of these five people, brother, son, daughter, wife, friend, comes over to Baseser in private and says, Ne'elcha v'navda, let's go try out some avodah zarah. So the Pnei Yeshua says, thank you so much. He says, I think the real crux is not case number one, your brother, but case number three, your daughter, says, you're right. The main point of this episode is that one of these five people, or someone else, but even someone who's so close to you, a relative, a friend, is having this private conversation saying, hey, let's go where Shalom is on. How do you respond? What do you do? Pnei Yeshua says, he doesn't even think it's a drasha. He thinks it's Purusha Mikra. The Torah, one of those five cases was your daughter is with you privately having this conversation. How are you and your daughter alone together?
Oh,
right. So the Yeshua says, the Mishnah had spoken about, the fifth din of the Mishnah had been Misyached Adam im Imo v'Imbito. So the case of Bitcha B'Seisr tells you that a father and daughter could be alone. The Gemara seek heat, Pnei Yeshua thinks, but I agree it may be a little bit of a stretch. He thinks that the drasha is not only could be alone with your daughter, you could also be alone with your mother, and that's where once there's a yichud context here, so the drasha is an add-on. Ben Imecha implies you could also be alone with your mother, right? So you can take care or leave it, the Pnei Yeshua, you can take a look. He says he's very excited. He says, in 30 years, I've been thinking about Kamo Shloshim Shana. And this is what he came up with. Okay. And he works on some more. He has a Yerushalmi that does sound like this. The Yerushalmi makes it sound like we are working off of the Bitcha. So again, you might argue that Yerushalmi and Bavli don't have to agree with each other.
Also say you're allowed to be with your daughter.
No, that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. So the way that Pnei Yeshua understands the drasha is the halachic problem develops once your daughter turns to you and says, let's go to church together. But the fact that your daughter was alone with you, that's totally fine. Why? So that implies that there's no yichud with one's daughter. All the other people, or with one's wife, that's even more self-evident. But implication would be if it was someone else, there wouldn't be, there would be yichud problem. So let's back up again. So we have the Gemara asked first about the distinction that the Mishnah draws explicitly between Shtei Nashim versus Shnei Anashim. And the answer was, well, there's a practical psychological insight here in terms of what the risk levels of the different possible dynamics. And then we backed off and said, well, where does all yichud come from at its core? And the answer is the drasha. Again, the different ways of understanding what the drasha is. The Bavli, the Yerushalmi, the Pnei Yeshua reads the Gemara. But we are interpreting. And the point remains, with or without the with or without the Pnei Yeshua, it is a surprising drasha. The Gemara goes on, by the way, to say, well, on the level of Pshuto Shel Mikra, and within the context of Maces, the Gemara tries to explain also that that phrase. Now, but let's think about this. Let's process this a little more. Yeah, question.
Yeah, the Rosh Panta, I think I know maybe why, but the Rosh Panta a lot of time, I guess, talking about the percentages. How do you know that it percentages even like risk management? How do you know that it even enters into it? Maybe it's just definitionally. Yichud is, and it's telling you what the definition of Yichud is. Two women is the same as one woman. And it has nothing to do with percentages or chances of, you know, that two is less than one. I mean, I think maybe it's because it says Ishto Mishtam. You know, it talks about Shmira does help, but I'm just wondering why we're focusing on the percentages so much. Maybe it's just definitionally, that's the definition.
Let's think this through. A man and woman alone, that's called Beseser. Beseser, by the way, is the language not only that's used in the context of Mesis, the Makar for Yichud. It's also, Beseser is also used in Parshas Nasa in the context of Sota, Venistra, Vihinitma, which is a Yichud-like din. And there it's clearly one man, one woman alone. So you're saying, okay, I have a pasuk that says that the man and woman Beseser is also unless they're parents and child. And then what's the Gemara's first point? Nashim Dait and Kalos.
That's why two women is the same as one woman.
Because?
It's Dait and Kalos.
And so, therefore?
So you might think Yichud is one on one. It's not true. One on two is the same as one on one. But not necessarily because of...
So reductio ad absurdum. The Gemara talks about the possibility of women making a zimun. My folks have shown them how much of a chiyuv it is, but it's certainly at least a possibility. Three women eat bread together, they can at least opt to make a zimun. How do they make a zimun? But two women is the same as one woman. So three reduces to two.
Two women with a man.
Do I need to have six women?
Two women with a man is the same as one woman with a man. And it doesn't...
So, you are backing into... You know, it's not totally definitional.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? It does have to do with the risk management.
But I mean, there's a lot of other factors into risk management too. You can have women that are more likely to do it.
And that is a good point. And indeed, the other kula segment that the Gemara is going to raise, and the other fact, the Gemara is going to raise number one more factors in this kula. We're not there yet. But the bottom of the Gemara is going to say, you know, even said adding a man is a val shomer. Well, let's talk about what his moral standards are. Some men are prutzim, they don't, right? And then we're going to talk about ishto, and we will dig into that some more. But maybe also what was driving it, you're onto something else. What was driving it also is the following. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, if you turn to the Shulchan Aruch, we are in Simen Chav Beis, Seif Aleph. Let's take a look at the beginning of Seif Aleph. Asher leis yachidim erva meha arayos. This is the Shulchan Aruch opens with a more or less verbatim quote of the Rambam. It's interesting that the Rambam is also Perek Chav Beis. Shulchan Aruch is Simen Chav Beis. A good friend of mine, Rabbi Ezra Schwartz, pointed out, as far as he knows, Simanim Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis and Evan Ezer are the only two places where the number, Siman number in the Torah Shulchan Aruch corresponds to the Perek number in the Rambam. So it'll help you remember. So it's the Shulchan Aruch, the beginning of Siman Chaf Beis, corresponds to the Rambam, the beginning of Perek Chaf Beis of Yisur Rebbe. Also, Hisachinim Evan Meher Rayos, you're forbidden to have Yichud with a man can have Yichud with a woman if they are an Erva to one another. Bein Zakena Ben Yalda, the Rambam adds, regardless of whether she's young or old. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he has a kuntras on the Rambam where he tries to give the sources in Chazal for every line of the Rambam. Okiris Melech. So where does the Rambam get it from? Bein Zakena Ben Yalda. Where is that from? See, he points to a Bereishis Rabba in next week's parsha. Chaim Kanievsky points out the Bereishis Rabba in Parshas Vayera understands that that Avraham Avinu was moving around to avoid a situation of yichud between Sarah and Yishmael, even though Sarah was ancient. So the Chaim Kanievsky thinks that line in the Bereishis Rabba is the source for this Rambam, that the yichud is also even the Yishmael is a teenager. And Sarah was pushing 90, and still, yes, you're yichud. Okay. It's important to keep in mind that speaks, I think, also to, as an aside, to Uri's point, that risk management has its limits. There will be categories. Sometimes we can make a categorical definition. Oh, this fits into that category, and therefore it's mutter. But you can't just sort of loosely say, well, it seems unlikely. Just the general argument, well, it seems unlikely, that doesn't cut a lot of ice. And you see, even though there's an age difference of decades, we don't say, well, she's older, and therefore there's no Issa Yichud, or she's so much younger, therefore there's Issa Yichud. No. That's interestingly, that's one of the opening clauses in all the Hilchos Yichud, the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, is Yichud is Aser Bein Zaken Bein Yalda. A mere difference in age doesn't mitigate the problem. Shedavar Zeh Gorim L'Galus Erva. Yichud is Aser. What? I'm sorry? It's hard because we're immediately thinking of all the details. Yeah, Parsha?
Yeah. Based off of that, though, in later in Parsha's Vayera, father with his daughters is not a problem, but yet in Vayera, the people was a problem. So
yeah.
To say that that's your source, that Yichud is the source for the older person, like why would then a father with a daughter be a problem, yet father with a daughter really isn't?
Yeah, you raise an interesting question. Well, just to be clear, you're right that the Torah does record a situation of incest between Lot and his daughters, but the Bereishis Rabba is pointing to the fact that Avram, it's a yichud situation. Words, Avram was concerned. Bereishis Rabba understands that Avram moves over here to avoid a situation of yichud between Yishmael and Sarah. So it's not just you see something once happened. It's you see that Avram was concerned about Yichud. The fact that Lot had an incestuous relationship with his daughters, that's anecdotal evidence. And the fact that it once occurred doesn't mean that it's so likely that it drives in this Yichud.
However, that drove the Gezerah of David.
Let's get to David. But just one anecdotal incident under extreme circumstances is not going to drive policies. Let's come back to the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch. So once again, begin with Sif Aleph, or if you have Rambam in front of you, you can follow along in Perek Chav Beis Halacha
Aleph. In that case, it seems like Isha did the
Kalabas. Yes, that case was strange on a lot of levels. And there's also alcohol involved, a lot of that. And they also thought that civilization they thought there had been a second Mabel, they were the only surviving human beings. A lot of unique factors here. So let's just say again, back in the Shulchan Aruch. Asla his yachid me'erva me'harayos, forbidden to have yichud with an erva, bein zekene bein yalder, regardless of age, shedavar zeh gorm legalos erva. The logic behind it is that yichud can be a driver of actual gilarais, of actual zmos. Chutz me'em en benav, ha'av en bito, ve'habalam ishto nidah. So Rambam Shulchan Aruch give three exceptions. Three cases where the man and woman are an erva to one another, yet there's no Issa Yichud, mother and daughter, I mean, mother and son, father and daughter, those both appear in the Mishnah, and husband and wife when she's an Ida. A woman who's an Ida, Issa Karis, to have relations with an Ida. So the Rambam is of the opinion that Nida is an example of Gilur Arayos. As an aside, this is a big machlokes Tosos and the Rambam. Tosas on, for those who learn Mishnah Yomi, just started the Yavamas, I think, today. So on Gemara, Yavamas, that Beis Amarav, Tosas, the Bama Beis Amarav for Yavamas, quotes the Bein Tam, who felt that the Nida is not an Erva. That Erva is only when it's defined by a relationship, which is not the case by Nida. Everyone agrees that there is an Issa Karis by Nida. Everyone agrees, conversely, that there's no mamzeris. If a husband and wife have relations without her going to mikvah, it is an Issur Karis, and at the same time, if they have children, the children are not Mamzer, which is incredibly significant. The Nafkamina, why does it matter whether this Machlokas Rambam, Rabbeinu Tam, Rambam Tosas, whether or not Nida is an Erva? So one Nafkamina we mentioned last time, there are a number of Nafkaminas in Arayos. So one would be, is it Yehareg Vayavar? Is it Yehareg Vayavar? The Rambam is of the opinion that for husband and wife to have relations while she's in Nida is that's something one needs to be martyred for rather than violate, because it qualifies there. But Rabbi Tam would probably disagree. Another nafkamina is right over here. Is the core Isser Yichud, right? The Rambam has been defining Isser Yichud as Yichud Arayos. So does that include Nida or not? So the Rambam assumes fundamentally yes, and Nida is an Erva. For me to have Yichud with some other woman who is a Nida, that is Yichud Arayos. With my own wife, a husband and wife, to be alone while she's a Nida, that's not a problem of Yichud typically. Why? Because the nature of the relationship is such that we're much less concerned. Okay, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch goes on to give more details about husband, wife, while she's in Nida. I don't want to get into that right now. Maybe we'll come to that next time. But that's sort of the opening lines of Hilchos Yichud. Now, the Pizchei Tshuva, here on the bottom, Pizchei Tshuva on the bottom, says, well, in the tiny letters, he quotes a very early Achram from the 1600s. Ayem b'tshuvas chavos ya'ir, Rav Yair Bachrach. In Tshuva number, Ayin Gimel, Tshuva number 73, Shekasav, af l'tosfos davke ish echad im ha'er v'asur mida oraisa. Aval ish echad im shtei nashim o lehepech, that's only mida rabbanu. He says, the Pizchei Tshuva says, the ish yichud oraisa is only one-on-one. Once there are three people, even if it's Asr, whether it's Asr because the three people are one man and two women, or it's Asr because, as we'll go on to see in Sefei, sometimes even two men and one woman is also Asr. But the Chavos Ya'ir wrote in the 1600s that as soon as there are three people, you're done with the Isr Daraisa, it's only Drabbanan. The Chain Kasa B'Sefer Binas Adam. Binas Adam is Chai Adam, Chachmas Adam's footnotes on his own Sefer. So right in the late 1700s, early 1800s. He also writes the same thing, that the difference between a one-on-one situation versus three or more people is the Isser Yichud Daraisa is only one-on-one. Where does that come from? The answer is, that comes from our Gemara. And the Rashba, in the Tshuvas HaRashba, I put them around the cover with Tshuvas HaRashba, Simen 1178, Elef Kuf Ayin Ches, very interesting Tshuvas HaRashba. He's addressing, I don't know that we know much else about this fellow, Rabbeinu Eliyahu of Akko. In the 1300s, the Rashba received a letter from Eretz Yisrael, from Rabbeinu Eliyahu in Akko, who had written him a long discussion on Yichud. The Rashba responds, a lot of discussion about the Sugya. The Rashba agrees with some of what Rabbeinu Eliyahu had written, he disagrees with other parts. One of the pieces they seem to agree to is that the Isser Daraisa is only one-on-one. Once you have three people, it's automatically Mutam in our Torah. We can discuss, is it Asur Midraban or Mutam Midraban? How is that rooted in our Gemara? If you think about it, what that means is, the two questions were, my time and Minoan Emili. Right? The second question, Minoan Emili is the way the Gemara always asks, what's the source in Chumash? Almost invariably, a number of Rishonim point this out, almost invariably, Minoan Emili is asking for a real drasha to source a real din daraisa. Tosi Shana points that out in the last parak of Yuma. So Minoan Emili, the second question that Gemara was asking, gives me a source for this din daraisa. And the answer was the Pasuk Chumash. My taima, what's the rationale? And the answer was, well, here's why I'm concerned. There's greater risk. That my taima was talking about which case? Three people. Why is it over here? This case of three people is Asr, that case of three people is Mutter. Minoan Emili, the answer was B'Seser. B'Seser means two people. So what emerges is that the Gemara first addressed what the Mishnah spoke about explicitly, which is sometimes three people are is Isar, sometimes Mutter, and that's entirely the Rabbanan. There's no pasuk for that. No pasuk for any of that, because that's maximum asum Rabbanan. Why is it sometimes they made a gzeir, sometimes they didn't? The answer is because in this case it's more of a concern. In this case, there's less concern. And then the Gemara says, but maybe at its core there's an Isra Daraisa. And the answer is yes, there is an Isra Daraisa sometimes. It's not a case that the Mishnah discussed at the beginning. It's a case the Mishnah employed at the end. When at the end the Mishnah said, you can be alone with your mother or your daughter, so that was a case that would have been also in HaTorah, were not for the fact that the man and woman involved are our parents and child.
The Mishnah doesn't address the Daraisin at all.
Correct.
Not at all.
Which is, as Glenn was pointing out, very true to form. The Mishnah is often front load dinim. Well, it addresses the Daraisin at the end. It said, and that's actually the content of the drasha, is parents and children can have yichud.
But I'm saying that on the
Isser
side.
But we danced around the Isser Daraisa, we jumped right in at the beginning explicitly to the Drabban, which is again classic Mishnah style. Let's take this one final step further, which is we're now assuming that there is at its core an Isser Yichud Daraisa, albeit only one on one. If it's Beseser, then potentially Isser Daraisa. Beseser and there are Arayos. So then it's the Isser Daraisa. Where does this Arayos piece come from? So, well, the drasha was Ben and Imo, that would be an example of an Erva, but an Erva without Isser Yichud. The Gemara is explicit about it, as you might have seen, in Sanhedrin and in Avodah Zarah. In Sanhedrin and Avodah Zarah, the Gemara there is explicit that Yichud, you start with Yichud Arayos, where the man and woman are an Erva to one another, and then, as you mentioned, the Gemara says, well, in the days of David HaMelech, they introduced a Gzeirah Drabanan of Yichud Penuya, a single woman, where there's no Erva, still the Drabanan is Aser for he and she to have Yichud. And then many, many centuries later, at the end of the Bayi Sheni period, Hillel v'Shammai made a Gzeirah Drabanan against Yichud between a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman. That was a further Din Drabanan, those Din Drabanan, again, sourced in the Gemara Sanhedrin and Avodah Zarah, and they appear in Shulchan Aruch in Sif Beis. Kishi'ira Maisa Amnon v'Tamar, after the whole tragic story of Amnon and Tamar, David Beis Dina make a Gzeir Yichud Penuya, Afa Pisha Eina Erva. Bechlal Yichud Arayos, the Din Darais of Yichud Arayos, and then they expanded Yichud Arayos to include even a case of non Erva. And Shammai and Hillel made a further gzeira yichud kusis, yichud with a non-Jewish woman. So all these cases, nimtza, what ends up happening is no matter what, is going to be an isra yichud of some sort. The Gemara there is actually explicit. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, b'cheirish, yichud debas Yisrael daraisi, yichud with Jewish man to be alone with a Jewish woman, is the isra yichud daraisa. The Gemara quotes, Rabbi Yochan quotes this drasha, and then the Gemara says, yeah, that's Daraisa, if it's Eish Es Ish or some other Erva. But if she's single, then there's no Issa Yichud Daraisa. As an aside, well, the Rambam said that with a Nida is also Issa Yichud Daraisa, because Nida is an Erva. The Rambam holds that Nida is also an Erva. So Yichud Penuya for the Rambam means where she's A, single, and B, not a nida, which nowadays is not a reality, because nowadays the only reason to go to mikveh, the only significance of mikveh is lahatir labayla. So that's why our practice is that single women do not go to mikveh, because that's an expression of incredible pritzus. Back 17 or more centuries ago, when they were eating truma, and back 20 centuries or more ago, when they had karbanos, so tumah v'tahara wasn't just a question of a relationship husband-wife, right? Men, women, adults, children, you need to be tahar in order to eat truma. You need to be tahar in order to go into Beis HaMikdash, in order to eat kachim. So being a nida wasn't an intimate matter. If you're a nida, you can't go into Beis HaMikdash. You can't eat the Karban Pesach. If you're not a nida, you can. So single women went to mikvah also. They want to be tahar for mikdash, for karbanos, if she's a kohenes, for truma. So back in the day, you had plenty of single women who were also not nidos. So that's what the Gemara says. According to Rambam, the Gemara means a case where penuya means not only she's single, as opposed to being married, but also not a nida. So then, for premarital relations in that context is an iser, perhaps an iser daraisa, but no kares. She's not an ishazesh. She's not a nida. There's no kares. So it's not an erva. So the iser yichud in that case is only drabana. Okay. So that it's sourced in that Gemara. But and it's sourced in the way that Gemara describes our drasha as being daraisa. But we close with the following. That's how most Rishonim read it. There is, however, and most Rishonim includes the Tosas Tuch as one of the alternative sets of Tosas. Tuch is a town in France. Tosas Tuch on our Sugyan Daf Peyalef says explicitly, Yichud was an Erev as a Isra Raisa based on this Drasha. Rashi says in Shabbat Tach Yigim Aleph, says, yeah, Isra Daraisa. The Gemara in Kiddushin has a drasha. Yichud is an Isra Daraisa. The Rashba, as I mentioned, the Tshuva says it. The Tur, right here in Siman Chavei, says it. Asr, he opens up, Asr min ha-Torah le-ish, shet yisachet in la-erva. You'll notice, though, that the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Rambam, never used the language of min ha-Torah explicitly. And if you look at the Rambam inside, he actually uses some loaded language. He says it's mipi ha-Kabbalah, from tradition. Yisr yichud arayas mipi ha-Kabbalah. What does that mean? He goes on to say, Halacha Gimel, that if you violate Yichud, Gemara is going to say in Pei Aleph, that if you violate Yichud, sometimes you get Malkus. He makes the stresses that it's a Malkus Durabanon. It's only Malkus Mardus.
But what do they do with the Gemara?
Gevaldik. So the question is, if there's a big Machlokas, how to interpret this Rambam? The Gra on Shulchan Aruch, he says that... The Rambam holds his only drabana. The Gra and Shulchan Aruch Sifkat and Dalit. When the Shulchan Aruch says you get Makas Mardus, you get a drabana in form of punishment. Kemosha Kasa Rambam Sham. He says the Rambam wrote that Isra Yichud Arayis is Pi HaKabbalah Reish Lamer Torah Lom Asmachti. It's not a real drasha. As you have pointed out, this is a very odd type of drasha. It doesn't seem to correspond to any of the real Mishnah Torah drasha. And the Rambam says, yeah, it's talking about drasha. After all, the language of the Gemara was remez when you put in that Torah. Remez. It's an illusion. But then the Rambam goes on to say, but the other Rishonim who say, Afla Sofer Shedivar Torah, even those other Rishonim who say it is a Issa Daraisa, it's a Daraisa, but it's not a law. So the Isser is Daraisa, but the punishment is only Midrabbanan. So the Gra is clear that he understands Ram to say the whole Yichud is Rabbanan. The Bach, on the side of the Tur, already seems to say that. And there are Rishonim who seem to say it. Truman Sadeshan seems to say that also. On the other hand, the Beis Yosef seems to say, on the other side of the Tur, seems to understand the Rambam is saying it's the Daraisa. And the Meiri sounds like he usually parallels, when he's speaking in his own voice, he usually parallels the Rambam. And he seems to be presenting a way of reading the Rambam. Pia Kabbalah means it's not a pasuk in the Chumash. It's not counted as one of the Tarag Mitzvahs because it's not Tarshu Bechsav. It's only a drasha. That's what Pia Kabbalah means. It's only interpretation, but it's an interpretation which is Daraisa. Interpretation which is Daraisa. The Rambam sometimes uses the language of a parallel type of term, Midivrei Sofer. It's not the term he uses here. Here he says, Mipia Kabbalah. The Rambam sometimes uses the terminology Midivrei Sofrim, and that will sometimes evoke a lot of discussion. Does Midivrei Sofrim mean Rabbanan? Or Midivrei Sofrim more generally means Tar Shval Peh, either Drasha Daraisa or Din Rabbanan, either one. So that's, and that makes it onto the page of Shulchan Aruch. And with this we close. If you look in the page of Shulchan Aruch, here, the Beis Shmuel in the Tosas position, right? Beshas Nilmad Mikra, the opening Beis Shmuel. Beshas Nilmad Mikra. This is Yichud. The Gemara learned from the pasuk Yisischa Chicha Ben Imecha, Chichi Ben Emes is Lo Ben Av, Remez Ben Misachim Imo, etc. Tosas and Shabbos, he tells you the first parak of Shabbos. It's a Rashi. He says Yichud is daraisa, Chinkat Tur writes is daraisa, but the Rambam says it's min haKabbalah. De'enu ela remez mitorah. Only a remez. So what this says, and many understood that to mean, again, that the Rambam held the Yichud Rabban. And what others understand, no. That's what it says, Machlok is Beis Yosef and Bach. The Me'iri and the Beis Yosef seem to think that even the Rambam agrees it's daraisa, just not Torah Shebichzav. Whereas the Gra seems pretty clear that it's Rabbanon, the Bach sounds like it's Rabbanon, so that's an open machlokes. So whatever it is, again, you do it, the Gemara says it's Daraisa, that's definitely yes, the Gemara says it's Daraisa, and on the other hand, the Gemara says Remez. So within the language of the Gemara itself, you sort of there are the indications in both directions. So again, what we have is, according to almost all Rishonim, there is an Issur Yichud Daraisa, Rashi, and the Baal HaTosfos, and the Rashba and the Tur say explicitly that there isn't Issur Yichud Daraisa. Whether the Rambam agrees to that or not is an open question. But as we saw, the Issur Yichud Daraisa, the second question of the Gemara, that's specifically, as the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Chavos Yair, from the Chachmas Adam, and as the Rashba says in the Tshuva, that Issur Daraisa is only Beseser. So Issur Daraisa is only when it's a one-on-one situation. If it's a one-on-one situation and they're in error with one another, so then we call it Yichud Daraisa. The Gemara is explicit in Avodah Zarah and Sanhedrin that if they're not in error with one another, she's a Penuya or a Nachris, then it's the Issur Drabanan. And what you see from the Drasha, from the Gemara unpacks it here, even if she is an Erva, for a man to be alone with two married women, that's an Issur Drabanan. Three is a crowd. If it's not the Seser, then that is an Issur Drabanan. We have plenty more to discuss. We wanted to know who qualifies as a Shomer. There's also a lot to talk about. Our very next topic is going to be to dig some more into the question of relatives. How about grandparents? How about adoptive parents? How about siblings? A lot more to talk about, and that's where we're going to head next.